Paul Newman has died. The screen legend, philanthropist, and race car enthusiast was 83 years old. He died of cancer on Friday, according to a spokesman. He leaves behind 5 decades of film work as well as a legacy of charitable giving. For member station KPBS, Beth Accomando has this remembrance.
Paul Newman had a way of making everything look easy. He navigated celebrity without scandal. He gave effortlessly to charity. And he even made getting old a graceful process. On screen, he hustled pool, solved crimes, argued cases, and bucked the system with just a hint of impertinence. He took whatever anybody dished out and greeted it with a smile or even a laugh. As Luke Jackson in Cool Hand Luke, Newman gave us his quintessential screen character, the complex and flawed individual who fought a personal rebellion. In a 2003 interview on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, Newman described being part of a new generation of actors in the 60s.
I don't know at the time that you really know that you're part of something new. You just know that you're part of something that's really exciting. Although I must say, I had no idea what I was doing until maybe 10 years ago. Less is more. And I was working awful hard in most of the early stuff.
But the hard work paid off, and Newman had a career that successfully spanned more than 5 decades of stage, television, and film work, far too much to cover here. Also spanning a half century was his marriage to actress Joan Woodward. In 1958, they made the first of 10 on-screen appearances together in The Long Hot Summer. Newman played Ben Quick, a brash young man intent on marrying the prim, well-to-do school teacher played by Woodward.
I can see you don't like me, but you're gonna have me. It's gonna be you and me.
Not the longest day I live.
Yes, sir. They're going to say there goes that poor old Clara Varna, whose father married her off to a dirt-scratching, shiftless, no-good farmer who just happened by. Well, let them talk. I'll tell you one thing. You're going to wake up in the morning smiling.
Roles like Ben Quick established Newman as both a critically acclaimed actor and a Hollywood heartthrob. Newman, however, preferred to view himself as a character actor and felt that his good looks sometimes limited him to leading man roles. But Newman relished playing unsavory characters like pool shark Fast Eddie Felsen in The Hustler.
It's a great feeling, boy. It's a real great feeling. When you're right, and you know you're right. It's like all of a sudden I got oil in my arm. Pool cue's part of me. You know, it's a pool cue. It's got nerves in it. It's a piece of wood. It's got nerves in it. You feel a roll of those balls? You don't have to look. You just know.
1961's The Hustler ushered in a decade of vivid roles that cut through Hollywood conventions with bold energy. He could be a heel in Hud, a wisecracking anti-hero in Harper, or a rebel loner in Hombre and Cool Hand Luke. Newman also excelled behind the camera, directing Joanne Woodward to acclaim in Rachel, Rachel. Newman was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar 8 times, and won in 1986 for The Color of Money. In that film, he reprised the role of Fast Eddie Felsen, who finds himself rejuvenated by Tom Cruise's pool prodigy.
You remind me that money won is twice as sweet as money earned. 25 years ago, I had the screws put on me. I mean, it was over for me before it really got started. But I'm hungry again, and you bled that back into me.
The Oscar was sweet and long overdue, but Newman never rested on his laurels. Instead, he sought challenges, many of them off-screen. He believed in social and political activism and proudly pointed to the fact that his outspokenness won him a spot on President Nixon's infamous enemies list. He also had a passion for auto racing, as he explained to NPR in this 1997 interview.
The actual act of strapping yourself into a race car is sensational because you create a cocoon for yourself. You know, the objective is very clear and clean. And you don't have one critic saying, well, yes, it's a good film, and another critic saying, oh, it's a bad film. You're either there and cross the finish line first, or you're back some ways. So that the definition of good is very cleanly delineated.
In 1979, Newman finished second in the grueling Le Mans 24-hour race. But no matter what he accomplished off-screen or how quietly he lived in Connecticut, Newman could never escape his Hollywood celebrity. He eventually gave in to what he called shameless exploitation in pursuit of the common good by allowing his face to appear on a line of food products called Newman's Own. Newman made his food products almost as successful as his film career.
Things kept escalating. And at the instant that I decided that it would be a business, then I realized that you'd really have to give all the money away.
And he did. Every penny of after-tax profits has gone to charity. Since 1982, donations from Newman's Own have exceeded $220 million. In later years, Newman's film projects grew more infrequent, but his talent continued to mature, with roles in The Verdict and Nobody's Fool. In 1997, he told NPR that his approach to acting had changed.
I think for a very long period, I really tried to make myself go toward the character. And for the last couple of years, I've tried to make the character come to me. And, you know, acting is really nothing but exploring certain facets of your own personality, trying to become somebody else.
In 2002, he returned to live theater after more than a three-decade absence to play the role of stage manager in Thornton Wilder's Our Town. It wasn't his final performance, but it provides a fitting cap to a long and varied career, one full of accomplishments obtained gracefully and without fanfare.
There are some things that we all know, but we don't take them out much and look at them. We all know that something is eternal. And it ain't houses. It ain't names. It ain't the earth. It ain't the stars. We all know deep down that there is something eternal. And that something has to do with human beings.
Paul Newman lives on in his films and through his charities. For NPR News, I'm Beth Accomando.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So I just did.